We are in a sermon series called Come and See Jesus in the Gospel of John, where we're walking through the Gospel of John and asking what each passage teaches us about who Jesus is and what that means for us today. And today we come to John 17, verses 20 through 26. So why don't you turn there now in your Bibles, your pew Bibles, your Bible apps. This is a passage where we see Jesus praying. All of John 17 is Jesus praying. And isn't that just amazing? I feel like we've been blowing past this fact. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, prays. And so what I want to focus on today is that if he prays, yeah, we probably better pray. And how he prayed, yeah, we probably better pray that way. And what he prayed for, yeah, we probably better pray for those same things. And so I'm going to focus in on this kind of John 17, 20 through 26 bit, but I'm going to look actually a bit more broadly at all of John 17, as well as that Luke 11 passage where we heard the Lord's Prayer. Thus, it will be helpful for you to have the Bible open, able to flip back and forth between John 17 and Luke 11, not just as I read, but also as I preach. But with that, John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Listen for God's holy word to you. This is Jesus. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the word of the Lord. You guys know that prayer is essential, right? You've probably felt the difference that prayer makes, either when you're praying or other people are praying for you. I think we all know that prayer is a big deal, but let me illustrate how big a deal it is. I was once talking to some missionaries, and they had this really interesting observation. They said that when they sent out a newsletter that listed prayer requests, they would find that their ministry would thrive for a while. But then if they kind of got busy and they got caught up and just failed to send out kind of reminders and updates and things, their ministry would start to struggle. And their work ethic hadn't changed. Their strategy hadn't changed. The only thing they could figure out is people weren't praying for them as much because they weren't being reminded of this. And so they reported this to us, and they said, we're going to try to do better about reporting, but would you please pray, because our ministry thrives when you pray, and we get creamed when you don't pray. And ministry is fueled by prayer. And I can certainly relate. Maybe you can too. I have days where I wake up and I'm just doing way better than usual, way better than expected, and I will literally think to myself, I think people are probably praying for me today. And often, not always, I will find out later in the day, somebody will say, hey, I don't know why, I was just prompted, I was praying for you today. And I'm like, that's why I'm doing better today. Prayer just makes this huge difference in all of our lives. I mean, how encouraging is it when you get that little emoji of the hands praying, right? Or you send out the request, and you have people go praying, praying, praying. Martin Luther, the great reformer, once said, I have so much to do today that I must start with 3 hours of prayer. He knew what we say every week in our prayer guide, quoting Oswald Chambers, that prayer doesn't fit us for the greater work. It is the greater work. Prayer is essential to our life in Christ. We say it. We know it from experience. We know it from history. But what proves it beyond all doubt is the fact that Jesus prayed. Actually, I should revise the way I said that. That Jesus prays. Present tense. I don't know if any of you have paid attention that in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that Jesus lives to make intercession for us. In Romans 8, it says that he sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. He prays for us. He's praying right now. But during his earthly life and ministry, we certainly see Jesus spending an inordinate amount of time in prayer. And that should tell you something. I mean, think about it. Jesus starts his whole ministry with 40 days of prayer and fasting. That tells you how big a deal it was. We read that he would regularly withdraw early in the morning while it was still dark to go and pray. If you remember in John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, they all want to make him king. And what does he do? He goes off to a solitary place to pray, sending his disciples off in the boat, and then he walks on the water to join them. Jesus would pray before he would do major miracles. We saw this in John 11. Right before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, what does he do? He prays out loud, and he says he's praying out loud so that everybody would know that what he was about to do was done through the power of prayer, through his connection to the Father. Jesus would pray before big decisions. He'd spend extra time in prayer. Before he chose his disciples, we read that he spent extra time in prayer. Before he left Capernaum and took his ministry kind of a little broader, we read in Mark 1 that he spent extra time in prayer. Before Jesus went to the cross, what does he do? He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And oh, by the way, fascinatingly, a whole other sermon could happen here. What does he ask his disciples to do? To pray for him. Different sermon. God asks you to pray for him. Jesus, even from the cross, prays. There, three of the seven last sayings of Jesus from the cross are prayers. First one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a prayer. Second one, Jesus quotes from Psalm 22, and Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. And I say this because Jesus had memorized all the Psalms. Most Jews in his day had memorized all the Psalms. They would pray them, and when you prayed one line, everybody knew the rest of the Psalm. So when Jesus starts with the first part of Psalm 22, it's a call for us to remember the whole of Psalm 22. And Jesus prays, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the prompt there is to get to the end of the Psalm, where the righteous will live. Jesus's perhaps last words, there's a debate as to which ones were last, was a prayer. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus prayed. And if he depended on prayer, don't you think we do? I mean, we know this. We know the difference that prayer makes. But let me ask you this question. How's your prayer life? I think if we're honest, all of us would admit it could use some improvement. I don't care if you're a master at prayer, you would still say, I need to improve. Jesus prayed perfect prayers. My prayers are not perfect. So we can all learn. We can all grow. We can all improve. And here's the good news. You're not alone. When I say all, we mean all. If you look at that Luke 11 passage, I find it a really fascinating start because it starts with Jesus saying, or with the text saying that the disciples saw Jesus praying in a special place, a certain place. And when they saw Jesus praying in this certain place, after he got done, they went to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught. taught his disciples to pray. And this is actually really amazing because Jews of Jesus' day were far better at prayer than probably most of us are. They had memorized the Psalms. They prayed them regularly. They knew when to pray them, how to pray them. They prayed before meals. They prayed all the time. They were good at prayer, but they saw Jesus and went, he's better at prayer. We need to learn to pray like Jesus prays. And so they asked Jesus to teach, and he does. And here's the good news. He will. He will teach us to pray. And so what I want to do just for the remainder of my time is I want to look at 4 points about how Jesus prayed that I see in this text, both the Luke 11 and the John 17. And I want to look at kind of 3.5 points about what Jesus prayed for. And I'm picking these when there are literally hundreds more, partly because they're what I see in the text, and partly because they're what actually convicted me of places where I most need to grow in my prayer. And the first thing I just want to say in terms of how to pray is we need to pray regularly or habitually. Jesus prayed all the time. He had prayer habits. He got up early while it was still dark. And maybe some of you pray right before you have a meal. Maybe you pray right before you go to bed. But I think looking at Jesus, we'd all go, man, I just need more prayer habits. I need to pray more regularly. I need to have a habit. I need to have a time. I need to have a place. Because it says that they saw him praying in a certain place. Jesus just made a habit out of prayer. Do you? Do you make a habit of, before a major decision, you go away and book extra time in prayer? Do you make a habit of, when there's a crisis, spending extra time in prayer? Do you make a habit of praying? If you want to grow in prayers, you have to adopt some prayer habits. But again, I have to just barely touch on these things because there's so much. The second way or how of Jesus' prayers that I notice in both John 17 and Luke 11 is Jesus always addresses his prayer to the Father. How does he teach us to pray the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, or in Luke's version, just Father. How does Jesus open his prayer in John 17, 1? He addresses God as Father. When Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, how does he pray? He says, Abba, Father. Jesus prays to the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but often I end up saying Jesus, or I say Lord, or I say this, or I say that. But maybe I should pray Father a little bit more often. Because God is the good and perfect Father. And that will inform a lot more of how we pray. We pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Father. And I think when we do pray to the Father, a couple of different other things will happen to us. One is there'll be a certain amount of reverence, right? Like some of you know that wait till your father gets home carried a certain amount of fear, right? There is a reverence and respect, but there's also, what I want to highlight, there's also this boldness, and there's this expectancy that comes. And those are the two things I want to lift up right now. Jesus, right after telling us how to pray the Lord's Prayer, tells us this little story. There's this man who has guests arrive late at night, and he doesn't have any food to give them himself, so he goes to his neighbor, his friend and neighbor, and he starts pounding on the door, and it's at midnight, and he says, give me some bread. And the text is really fun. The text says that the guy says, no, I'm in bed. And then it says, not because of friendship. And oh, there's a whole other sermon in that you can pray to God like a friend, but we kind of covered that in praying to God like a father. But not because of a friend, but because, in my translation, it says his shameless audacity. I just love that phrase. Shameless audacity. That's what we can be. We can be shamelessly audacious in our prayers for God, particularly as in the story, we're asking really just so we can help somebody else. We're called to be bold in our prayers, to ask big, bold prayers for others and for ourselves. I think part of the reason we're encouraged to pray bold prayers is because boldness is related to the most common command in Scripture, right? And the most common command in Scripture is to fear not. And what's the opposite of fear? The opposite of fear is boldness. Shameless audacity, just going to God. I also think that we're encouraged to pray bold prayers because prayer is, boldness is related to faith. We have faith that God can and wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than all we can ask or even imagine. And that he'll answer those prayers perfectly. And notice that bit, that he will answer those prayers. We're the last how of prayer that I want to cover here is that we pray expectantly. Again, looking at that Luke 11 passage, Jesus says, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened unto you. And why is all this? Because, as it says at the end of that passage that we're reading there in Luke 11, because God is like a good father. He's gonna answer the prayer, and he's going to answer it perfectly. Jesus makes this interesting analogy for Father's Day. He says, if you, dads pay attention here, if you who are evil, dads were evil. Our kids are nodding right now, right? We are. We're totally depraved. We're redeemed. But even if we're evil and know how to give, reasonably expected to give good gifts to our children, how much more God, who is perfect, will give the Holy Spirit, i.e. give himself to those who ask. We can expect God to answer our prayers. And by the way, sometimes we can expect him to answer no, and sometimes we can expect him to answer wait, because that's what's best. And your heavenly Father knows what's best. So those are the things I wanted to cover about how to pray. Let me look at, I said 3.5 things, because the 1.5, my middle points are kind of 2. We'll see if it breaks out that way. But what do we pray for? And again, I'm picking these things because these are things that are not as common in my prayer life as I think they should be. But the first of these that I really want to notice of what does Jesus pray for? And the first is that he prays for God's glory. Notice the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. Make your name holy. Make your name great. Make it set apart. And what is Jesus' first prayer request in John 17:1? Glorify the Son so that the Son can glorify you. Now, again, I say this because, well, formulas like the Acts formula, the adoration bit, and the joy formula, Jesus, others, yourself, the Jesus bit, helps me pray a little bit for God's glory. But I have to be honest, I don't often pray for God's glory. But maybe I should. And maybe you should. Because I think if we did start to pray about God being glorified, then maybe we would start to live, as some people call it, SDG, the last sola of the 5 solas of the Reformation, soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. If I'm praying about God's glory, then I'm going to live and work toward God's glory. I think we should pray for God's glory. I think Jesus teaches us that. If it's not on your list, put it on your list of things to pray. The second thing I'm really struck by in the midst of this is praying for spiritual protection. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It could be translated, deliver us from the evil one. In John 17:15, Jesus prays that we might be protected from the evil one. Actually, if you look at John 17, there's a lot of prayers for protection throughout the whole thing. Protections from the world, protection from the evil one, protection from ourselves. There's all these prayers for protection. And I think a lot of us will pray for our physical protection and for the physical protection of our loved ones, but are we praying for spiritual protection? We should. Because as we've fought, as we've sung, we're fighting a battle. And as we heard in Scott's prayer from Ephesians, that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of this dark age, the spiritual forces of evil. We need to pray. And we need to put on the whole armor of God. And then if you go through that whole bit in Ephesians, it says, and then pray, and pray with all kinds of prayers. And one of the kinds of prayers that we should surely be offering is, God, protect us. God, deliver us. But I think we actually need to get more specific, and this is kind of my half point in this that could be a whole separate point, which is part of how we pray for protection is we pray for unity. You see, the devil's favorite strategy, it's a great military strategy in all kinds of ways and places, is divide and conquer. Right? If you ever watch predators attack a herd, what do? They separate the weak animal away from the rest of the herd. Divide. This is why Jesus, I think, prays just repeatedly, as we saw in our John 17 passage, for us to be one. This is why Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer to pray for forgiveness, that he would forgive us as we forgive others. Because forgiveness is the key to unity. It's not just distance. It's not just separation. Forgiveness is what leads to unity. And this whole prayer for unity, I think, is something maybe we've kind of given up on. We just go, division's inevitable. That's not what Jesus is doing. He's hugely praying for unity. Are you? And you pray this, by the way, this could be another sermon as well, not just because of it's a form of protection, but it's also a form of advancing the gospel. Because what does Jesus say pretty clearly? The world's going to know that we are his disciples based on our unity, based on our love for one another. All right, one more point of what to pray for. This one might seem self-evident, but we need to pray for others. Jesus models this, right? In our prayer, or in our text, Jesus prays not just for his disciples who were right there. And even though he knows he's about to go to the cross, he doesn't pray just for himself. He prays for those who would believe because of their message. He prays for us. Don't miss that. Jesus prays for you. Jesus could have spent time praying for himself. He didn't. He could have spent time praying just for his immediate circle. He didn't. He prayed for all those around him, all those who would believe. He prays for you. Now, I'm sure you pray for others, but how are your proportions? You know, do you pray beyond your immediate circle, proportional to how you pray for yourself and your immediate circle? How much do you pray for them? Do you pray for those who would believe because of your witness to Jesus? I think this is a challenging place, something that we should do. And by the way, I just want to lift up tools that can help with that. One of those tools is you'll find all these various resources on the web of hey, prayers for the persecuted church, or hey, prayers for Muslims during Ramadan, or prayers for Hindu for Diwali. I don't know if I said that right. But there are these things. There are ways to pray for others beyond our circle. You might want to grab some of those. Now, again, there is so much more we could say. There's so much more we could dig into. There's so much room to grow in our prayers. I mean, even in our text, we see about prayers about being with Jesus and prayers about knowing God, and those are all great. But let me just sum it all up again. Jesus prayed. We need to pray. Jesus prayed regularly, habitually. We need to do that. He prayed to the Father. We need to do that. He prayed boldly. We need to do that. He prayed expectantly. We need to do that. Jesus prayed for God's glory. That should be on our prayer list. Jesus prayed for protection and unity. That should be on our prayer list. Jesus prayed for others. People he didn't yet know, but who would come to know. That should be on our prayer list. So now you have the motivation, and you have the roadmap. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the enormous privilege of prayer. Thank you for the example of Jesus when it comes to prayer. Lord, may you grow us in our prayers. May we be a people who pray more regularly, who pray to you as Father, who pray bold, audacious prayers. Lord, who pray expectantly, trustingly, who pray for your glory, who pray for protection, who pray for unity, and who pray for those who will come to believe. Lord, teach us to pray. Enable our prayers. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.